Hey, this is your host Brian Wayne here, and I'm here to let you know, in case you did not know already, that the Cheers to Comics podcast has since evolved. And if you're looking for a new shiny place to get your comic books from, then you need to head on over to shopcheerstocomics.com. It's like cheerstocomics.com, only with a shop in front of it. Shopcheerstocomics.com, and if you use code PODCAST at checkout, you're going to save yourself 10%, and I'm constantly adding new inventory, hot spec books, everything, any type of book under the sun. As it comes under my radar and it gets added into the inventory, I make it available to you. So remember, head on over to shopcheerstocomics.com and use code PODCAST at checkout and save yourself 10%. A pre-roll time. The Cheers to Comics podcast is proudly sponsored by Inked Marketing Solutions and the Inked Marketing crowdfunded comic for this yaw episode. Well, it's gonna belong to The Last Night of Twilight. Coming soon from the producer of Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs, Batman Beyond, Static Shock, and the new Batman Superman Adventures. Yes, the man is a legend in animation. Pinky and the Brain, sold right there. The Last Night of Twilight. What happens when you're broke, but your endless war against crime isn't over? The Last Night of Twilight is a story about an everyday superhero. He has no powers, he has no thirst for justice, but now his body is starting to portray him, but he just can't stop. Even a personal injury suit and losing all of his cool stuff won't stop him. His sidekick turning bad? That ain't gonna stop him. His former adversaries returning. Or retiring. Not returning. Retiring. That ain't gonna stop him. But age? Age is a son of a bitch. Age is gonna... might stop him. It might. I don't know. We have a comic book here, people. Like I said, the team behind this... I can't wait to see... Oh, I'm looking at this cover here, man. You got this pretty dark hooded looking figure. And you got like a walker. Like an old man walker. Not a Walker Texas Ranger. Like a tennis ball on the feet type of walker. I love it, man. I love it so much. I'm into it. So head on over to www.twinight.com. That's TWIKNIGHT.com. And get in on this, man. I got a good feeling. And like I said, Pinky and the Brain. Come on. Come on.
Age of Radio.
Welcome back to the Cheers to Comics podcast. I'm your host, Brian Wayne, and this is episode 375. The 375th episode of the Cheers to Comics podcast will be a creator corner. And the creator that I cornered on this here episode, well, you'll know him as Jeffrey Cotton. He's an up-and-comer. You know, this guy fell on my radar a long time ago, but not as a creator. He's just another feller in the industry trying to make his mark any way he can, whether it be from restoring comics to, as a man that distributes comics himself. You know, I've definitely purchased a book or two from the gentleman, that's for damn sure. But when I found out, that he was making a comic and then I saw the image art for it, I was like, well, fuck. I gotta talk to this guy. I gotta talk to him. So that's what we do. Myself and Jeffrey Cotton, we have ourselves a little talk about his Kickstarter book on Kickstarter right now called Awful Thoughts. It's a horror anthology that, I mean, from what I've seen, I'm pretty excited about. I am. The art is, I don't know, it reminds me of something. I can't put my finger on it, but it's good. It's good. And, yeah, I don't know, man. I want to see how all this ties together. But we're going to talk all about that in much, much more detail. You're going to want to hear it from Jeffrey himself. But yeah, I mean, this is, it's an exciting conversation. That's for damn sure. So, yeah, before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about the newest affiliate of the Cheers to Comics podcast, and that's going to be 307nerdsforever.com, 307nerdsforever.com. It's, man, you're looking for a place to get some books. I suggest, before you go to eBay, always hit up 307nerdsforever.com. Seriously, odds are you're going to find a better price there. It's going to be shipped better, and you're not going to have to worry about some strange eBay basement dude sending you a book for the first time ever in a manila envelope that has a do not bend pen written into it so deep it buried down into the comic. You know? No. That's not going to happen to fucking Nerds Forever. It's not. So head up 307nerdsforever.com for the best packing, the best customer service. If there's something in comics that could be the best, then Nerds Forever has your fucking back. 307nerdsforever.com and use code CHEERS at checkout and save yourself an additional 10%, wouldn't you know? An additional 10%. CHEERS at checkout. 307nerdsforever.com. Now, with no further ado, I bring you the very exciting conversation with the up-and-coming Jeffrey Cotton. All right, Jeffrey, how you doing, man?
Good, man. What's up, Brian? Cheers to comics.
Yeah, man. Here we are. It's funny. When I first came across your profile on social media, I didn't think this would be a format that we'd be chatting in, dude, because I know you from other branches of the comic book industry, multiple branches of the comic book industry. I was not aware that you're a creator.
Yeah.
So here we are, man. I love it.
It sort of happened, man. I've been creative, trying to creatively write for, I mean, ever since I've been, it's like grade school, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
And then I got into doing, my dad is a musician. And so I just, growing up, like, rap and hip hop was like in everywhere. It was like in cartoons and just pop culture and everything.
Okay.
Part of growing up, you know what I mean? So I got into hip hop music and rapping and writing like lyrics and stuff.
All right.
And that was how I creatively expressed myself for a long time. And but over time it just kind of fizzled out, and I still love all that, but I've always been passionate about comics and never really wrote anything. And then a couple years ago, when I started getting my life together, you know, I was struggling with drugs and alcohol and you know, when that tried and true story, but got past all that and then started, I actually got into D&D a whole lot and got back into comic books because I got a job at a little comic, a pretty big comic shop out here.
All right. Where's out here? What part of the world are you in?
I'm in Houston.
Okay.
Houston, Texas.
Yeah. Gotcha.
There's a lot of shops out here, pretty big city, as you know, so. But at any rate, yeah. So I got back into comics a few years ago, and I actually tried to write like a fiction novel, and I got like, man, like 40,000 words or something ridiculous. I was just hammering away at it, dude. And like all sorts of stuff, like Warcraft meets Game of Thrones type stuff, like grown up fantasy stuff. You know what I mean? And, got to like the end of it and couldn't really finish it all. I didn't know what to do with it. I just got kind of bored with it. That's been like a big deal for me, like a cycle that I'm trying to break, is like finishing stuff and seeing it through. You know what I mean? I can get something started and crank it up and get it rolling, and then, you know, for whatever reason, I just lose interest in stuff, you know. But this is something I'm really passionate about. Like, I can point being, saying all that, is all of this has been kind of building up for a while to something like this, you know what I mean? And it's a really cool way to tell stories. You know, we like to read them, obviously, and the artwork's great, man. I just kind of was blessed and found these guys online just from interacting with people in the community. And you know, these guys that did the book, they do tattoos. They've never even done comics. Tom had just come off of like his first 6-page short story or something. And Trey had never done any comics. And so, but he was just like, you know, he was buying books from me in Thunderdome. I don't know if you're familiar with the Thursday night bin sale I do.
Uh-huh.
And he was in there for quite a while. And then just I would see some of his pictures and art online and be like, man, this guy's really good. You know what I mean? Because we see you see a lot of, I'm sure you see a lot of fan art and people do and freelance and stuff like that. And this he was like, I was like really feeling his stuff. And so I was like reached out to him, man, and he's just like, yeah, you know, let's we put a cover together like overnight. And I was like, well, hey, you want to try some panels? And he was like, yeah, fuck it. And so he tried it. And then meanwhile, we were waiting for his buddy Tom to get back with me. And then so Tom got back. And so they're basically rotating the short story duties in Awful Thoughts. You'll see Trey's art for 6 pages. Then you'll see Tom and Trey's art will do the opening narrative and then follow Stephanie. And then Trey's art will be when the short stories kick off. And the anthology is kind of the soliloquy or how, whatever you call it. Should I? And then it'll transition after Tom back into Trey, you know what I mean? Like they'll have like rotating art and stories. And so I thought that was kind of a cool dynamic to see their art styles contrast. Cause they're both really talented. And,
well, logistically it makes a lot of sense too, because your artist is, they're burdened with half the work that a normal artist would be in 24 pages time. So you're able to get the work out twice as fast. And that's really helpful when you have two artists that have technically never done comics before.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about it. Yeah, we've never, none of us have ever done anything, you know, like endeavored to do anything like this. And so it's really cool to see the response from the community and the people that are behind us. And, you know, you're only as strong as the people that support you. So that's everything, you know what I mean? So now it's time to follow through. And my buddy Darren that runs the Comics Cafe out here in Houston, he was telling me these things, like he's familiar with all of this kind of stuff and indies and Kickstarters and all of that. That was all brand new to me. Like I just dove into that, you know what I mean? And I didn't even know how all that worked. Now I'm learning about NFT and crypto and all this cool stuff. Right. Darren was telling me how important it is to deliver on your first one. Once you get it going, you know, to really follow through, because that'll be the foundation for what people look at.
Exactly.
You, and you know what I mean? If you do a good job, they'll be supportive of. And so, but it's really important to me to deliver a really good product, something I would want to read and enjoy, you know what I mean? So,
right. And it's important too. I mean, there's so many people now that want to get into comics because that's the thing to do. And I don't blame it, because that's anybody for wanting to get into comics, because this is the future of everything that we're going to be consuming here on out. Like 75% of the shit that's getting made into a movie now came from a fucking comic. But when it's not just some guy that you're not just some guy that's been writing screenplays your whole life that's like, fuck it, I'll try comics. You're an appreciator of comics. Mm-hmm. And that's what myself as a reader, I don't know, that's what I'm enthused about. You know, when a lover of comics decides they're going to make comics, not just somebody that wants to make comics because that's the hot thing to do. And it shows. When reading this preview that you gave me of Awful Thoughts, man, this is this doesn't look like an amateur comic. It cool, really man. Doesn't, not I in any way, it. Shape, or form. I got the pages in Google format, but I would imagine it doesn't flow any different than scrolling that way,
right,
as it
yeah.
does to, you
know,
flipping
the,
through a book. You know, it's,
yeah, I'm still getting used to the digital stuff, because I think I told you I did some manga stuff recently. That was like one of my first jobs that somebody actually contracted us to do, and I met this new guy named Juan to do the art with me, and they did. I think it's like a webtoon format for their stuff, so it's kind of different
from
a traditional comic. So I had to learn how to scroll and how to. I'm still learning how to reshape the sizes for the images so they can be viewable or download, not too big to download. And it's just a pain in the ass. But
I dabbled in webtoons for a while, and I thought I was going to do webtoons and everything in like in a 7x11 format. Dude, it was just reformatting everything. I thought I was going to have a fucking aneurysm. I was like, you know, I don't think I want to do comics anymore. I mean, like just that alone. So, I mean, I commend you, you know, as a new creator getting it. I mean, you going from this a standard format, and then you get commissioned to do, like I said, an entirely different thing with
it's way in left field. So, and then I've also got some other stuff. So I'd like to talk more about Awful Thoughts, but other stuff next year, though, I'm going to be working on, I'm going to get right to it and do a it's like a zombie hero kind of thing that's kind of also rooted in some video game lore stuff.
Okay.
And without mentioning it, like we'll get into that later. It's really cool though. It's called From Your Grave. And then I'm also doing one that's like my baby that me and my buddy kind of came up with the idea a long time ago, and he passed away a while back from drug overdose, and he never got to see any of this come to fruition. But he was an artist, and but he was just he was off the chain, and so we never really got anything done, you know what I mean? But having the opportunity now, I'm gonna try to take advantage of it, and it's called the C. I've renamed it and kind of restructured it because we just had like a real hollow shell basically. But I've given it some real substance and called it the Seeds of Gaia. And I got a brand new guy, this artist, y'all check him out, named Luther Myrtle. He's on Facebook. And that's a cool name too.
Yeah,
Luther
seriously.
Myrtle, Myrtle. Luther Myrtle. He's got some really cool stuff. It's real like sci-fi, high tech, High Republic, Martian Row and the Nile type character designs and stuff like that, like StarCraft and Warhammer and stuff. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the look I'm going for because this is like a future space war epic. And so, but yeah, man, I've just got a lot of plans and high hopes, and hopefully, Awful Thoughts will be the catapult, the springboard for all of that. And that's my baby, though. Like when I first started thinking about doing a comic book, actually, the idea, this is a cool little tidbit, anthology from day one. You know what I mean? Because that's my favorite stuff to read. But my very first idea was going to be having a guy that was in a mental asylum that had just lost his shit. And he was in a padded room, and they would like somehow it would tap into his thoughts. And it was still going to be called Awful Thoughts, but it would just kind of show these like random, really weird, like, and I didn't know how to quite do it. I didn't really know how to corral it. So I started kind of building it around something else. And I was like, what if we have somebody find a book? And then I got something I can work with there. So it's been a challenge to get the overarching narrative to connect to all of the other stuff because at its core it's an anthology. But when
Right,
I'm
and most
trying to
anthologies really don't all come together, you
nah,
know,
very
so
few of
it's,
them,
yeah.
yeah, very few of them do. And even when they do, like they don't, it's not really like that big of a deal. Like I was really excited about Ha Ha and Ice Cream Man connecting, and it was just kind of like this little small origin of one of the characters or something, I think. But nevertheless, like I do enjoy all that, and like but like the silver coin, for example, it's just kind of told in the same world, and it shows the coin going from or like Electric Black, same kind of deal. So this is something that's a little different, you know what I mean? Aside from the stories being absolutely just, most of them are going to be pretty crazy, and they'll get progressively weirder as we get further into it. But the overarching narrative, I think, is really is has it's got some legs there too. So hopefully people will enjoy that and see how it all comes together and ends and everything. So
I dig it, man. And you've got this on Kickstarter now, and
yeah.
you've already funded. You've surpassed your goals. You've almost I mean, which shit,
I think I've got, I set a new
doubled.
one. So we did wanted to be modest and, just kind of be realistic and hope even 2000, even at that time was still feeling kind of unrealistic. Honestly, I was like, man, I'm going to get 2 grand. I was like, well, fuck it. Worst case
It's
scenario.
hard right now in
Yeah. I was
Kickstarter
like,
land during holiday season and everything.
is it?
There's a
Yeah.
million Kickstarters going on. I mean, there's people out there that normally fund their Kickstarters in days that were, I mean, going to the last day to get it funded.
Yeah.
So for you to fund as quickly as you did, that's incredible, man. I mean, that
Cool,
says a lot
man.
about your future fandom,
Yeah,
your
hopefully so,
audience,
man.
man.
A lot of people believe in me. I've worked hard. Like I said, we've known you, like you said earlier, we've known each other for a while through Facebook groups and stuff. And I remember when I think actually the first time I really started getting to know you and reaching out to you is when I found out you did content because I was doing like weekly content spec and new book videos for this guy, my buddy Chris, and it was called, oh man, I feel terrible. I can't even comic spec and keys. I did like 14 weeks in a row or something. It was rough. I appreciate what you guys do is when I stick to a schedule every week and get all that done. Man, it's not easy doing content.
No.
So, but anyways, yeah. So that just kind of fizzled out though. He got really busy. And I kind of got away from that. And it's funny how it's just, I've kind of like an amorphous blob, kind of gone from like one corner of the comic book world to the next. Like I press books now. I've got six machines. Like this is coming
You're
on about
six
a,
now, dude. That's
yeah.
That's
awesome. 1 year, about you. 1 year ago to the day almost, I got my first one.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man, to be able to work on for, these books.
And I'm going to give you a proper plug on that too, because that's really the thing that I believe you're shining the most in outside of comics with all of the stuff that I see you doing, at least. Who knows what else you're doing that I'm not aware of, but your ability to restore a comic and make sure that these fucking gems and blue chips survive. And it's important to stuff. To people like myself, man. So, I mean, really it's awesome to see you bringing back the desirability in books that otherwise may have been brushed off by someone that was looking for something better. I mean, you're bringing books back to life. And really, if you're looking for listeners right now, if you're looking for an amazing presser, then I, man, Jeffrey's the guy, man. Kingdom Comics, dude. Yeah, back to Awful Thoughts and your already success on Kickstarter. We still got
about a little less than three weeks.
Yeah, about 2.5 weeks here. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about real quick one of the stretch goals that you've already reached, and it's incredibly exciting. I mean, just what you're offering with this stretch goal, dude. It's
the DMX.
You're incredibly generous with this. We'll give you that. I mean, this is incredibly generous. But this homage cover, this DMX homage cover,
That was pretty wicked, man.
So excited about, dude.
So about. Remember, I told you earlier, I'm hip hop background and stuff. Yes, like, so I had to do something, and actually, one of my buddies came up with the idea. I didn't even hit me. And he was like, dude, you should do a hip hop cover, bro. You're a rapper, man. It's a hip hop cover, dude. And I was like, you know what? That's fucking right. That's a great idea, man. What's the first one I would want to do? What's one that hasn't been done to death, first off? What's one that, you know, it's okay. I know Laura has hers and it's dope as hell.
Yeah, that's really, out of all the hip hop covers, that would be the one I would chase if I were chasing all of those. I mean, it really is.
That one's nasty. So we want to
nasty
try
was
to
the word I was gonna say too. That's so weird.
We just want to try to pay respect to that, and then to DMX too, man. R.I.P. Earl Simmons. He was a beast, and you know, he went through some struggles and stuff with addiction in his life too, and just a great, just, man, I you know, as a role model for me. So it's great to be able to honor him and to do something really cool for the comic community. Yeah. And then I'll get a few extra and set them aside, and maybe one day we'll see him on eBay or something. Who knows?
Nah, dude, you're a wise man for setting them aside. There's no doubt about it, because it's something that
I'm gonna be fair though. I have this printing access to this printing company. I don't know how all these other people do it, or if there's even really a need to do it, but with print runs and stuff, like, I'm going to try to be as transparent about that as possible. So that way, if there is any desirability in the future, people can have an idea as to what maybe these covers are like ratio wise,
like,
or something, that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if they're cap it at 2000 or whatever, you know what I mean? Something like that. But cool. We'll see. I have no idea what to expect. The exciting thing is I'll have plenty of books, and I'll get them all set aside for everybody. We'll get those other books. I have a guy that can witness all the CBCS stuff right here, right down the street. Nice. At a shop, and we'll send those off. It's going to take a while, but hopefully everybody understands that. I'm sure.
Oh, shit, yeah.
It's going to be weird seeing my books come back slabbed, like, now, especially with like yellow labels with like my signature on it. Like, I've had to go back and like do like a new signature now. It's like, it's strange, man, but it's fun to think about. But it's cool, man. It's hard to not get excited and start feeling yourself a little bit. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude. Well, see, I'm glad you bring that up, because there's nothing wrong with. I mean, like I said, we're feeling yourself, dude. You're somebody that, especially somebody that appreciates this fucking medium. And then you see yourself, I mean, already succeeding. I mean, here you are. You have a funded campaign, and it's not, you know, some exec in a, you know, a publisher boardroom going, I like that one guy, you know, one guy's opinion. No, this is dozens and dozens and dozens of backers' opinions, saying, yes, no, we want all different minded people coming together, believing in this. So, I mean, it's, That's awesome, man. So yeah. I can't wait to watch this catapult you with all of the other stuff that you say you have coming out.
Be a I'm lot very of fun, excited. Man. 2022 is going to be hopefully a really good year. So, just the several projects, hopefully, because I'd like to kind of, you know me, I've been selling comic books and buying them and trading them and stuff for the longest time. And I have a little part-time job delivering Chinese food. And I'm hoping to be able to quit that soon. The pressing business has allowed for that, basically, at this point. I'm doing like 6 books a day or something, like consistently for like months, you know what I mean?
That's awesome.
So it's great. Yeah, I've been trying to monitor that because I wanted to make that like my full-time job if I could, you know what I mean? I don't need a whole lot of money to be okay, so I figured if I could do that or swap it out and then make a little money selling books on the side every week, I'd be okay at the end of the year.
That's the dream as a comic book fan, man.
Right.
You know, but have your fucking hobby pay for itself.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's it's a beautiful
thing. When you get in there and you learn how to grade books and you learn how to look for what's hot and how to speculate. And like comic books, though, as a fan, like growing up, and you can probably attest to this, like it's built on speculation. So I never really understood like the people. I guess it's, I don't know. I feel like it's like people use that as like a derogatory term to call somebody a speculator.
Well, there are two kinds of there is a right kind of speculator and a wrong kind of speculator. And yeah, really, I think the derogatory term would be, I call them shelf dwellers. Those are the people that they don't listen to podcasts. They don't get on the internet beforehand. They find out Wednesday afternoon, oh shit, everybody wants this book. This book's going for over cover price. And then they go to a shop that allows them to buy out however many they want. And they ruin that part of the market. Like that's the shitty type of speculator out there. But for folks like you and I that pre-order our shit, and you know, we have our finger on the pulse of the market. We read books so that we actually have an inclination as to what's to come. We're not just going off somebody else's opinion. There's nothing wrong with that kind of speculation. You're absolutely right. It keeps the market going. It's what's making it interesting right now. And let's face it, I mean, money's interesting.
Money's interesting.
People like making money, and there's so much money in comics, and it's not hard to do. But there's a wrong way to do it. And it makes, unfortunately, it kind of casts a shitty shadow over folks like us. But here we are, man. We proceed.
So see, I got a bunch of slabs coming back, and I've been doing this for a while. There's a nice little rhythm to it, and there's a way to make money, and I'm getting closer to being able to be in a position like yourself. I think you just recently got retail
level
for Diamond and everything, right? Do you have Lunar as well?
Yeah, I'm a Lunar and Scout at this point. I'll mess with Diamond when they start stop getting hacked.
They've got some weird shit going on, man. I think if it wasn't for Image, they probably wouldn't even be doing comics anymore. So and I feel like comics too, I digress. What I was saying earlier was I had been selling books for a while and doing all this, and it's still a lot of fun, but I think I want to get away from my goal. My goal got left, like wanting to do that like full-time and have a brick and mortar, or just like getting bulk pre-order and doing that more and more, you know. I'm wanting to get away from that and just make my own books and print them, you know what I mean? And try to sell them and then do pressing on the side. And I'll still have little weekly sales because I'm still going to pre-order stuff, but I just want to, my business model or my goals have kind of changed in the last 2 or 3 months as this idea has become something that's materialized and been made manifest now. You know what I mean? Now it's kind of like, well, wow, like, okay, now with $3,500, I got a lot of shit I can do. You know what I mean?
Right. And
I've already paid for all the art and everything. You know what I mean? That's all my money. And it's going to all go to making sure that all these books and everybody has the nicest stuff and it gets to them and everything first and foremost. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And there's still going to be a nice little amount of money. That money can be funneled back into paying for more art and just perpetuate it all. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And then there's, once you have printed material too, there's other ways to monetize it. Because I mean, you start going on the road and do conventions.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
But then, I mean, that becomes a career move in itself.
I'll take that leap, I think, at some point. And once I'm okay and I've got a little bit of slush fund built up, I'll go ahead and just leave the part-time gig and transition into comics full-time, but just in a different way than I had initially expected at the beginning of this year. It's kind of funny. I would have never thought that at the end of the year I'd have a comic book coming out. I told you that.
I know, it's amazing.
pretty trippy, man. Yeah. When I put my mind to something, dude, I go ahead and knock it out. That's why why I was a good drug addict and an alcoholic. Just go hard, man. Anything I get a hold of, I just go hard, man.
Well, I'm glad you got a hold of comics, man.
Me too, man. I love it. Oh, I can talk about that shit all day and all night.
Love it. It really is an amazing medium. So you said at the beginning of the year, you didn't think that you would have a comic book published. So from day one, from the time that the cover's drawn up, how long was it when you pitched? Was it Trey that drew up the cover? Mm-hmm. When you pitched
Trey Antley. He's the guy who did my covers. He's also has an exclusive. Actually, made Key Collector. His first one was with Bombardier and Sons. Some good guys. He did a Red Room cover. Yeah, and this is the first one that he's done that's like all original stuff, like story wise. I think is my project. So
damn,
yeah, Trey Antley.
Hell yeah. So from the time that the cover is drawn up and you realize, okay, shit, we're on to something here. The end of the page 24, how long would you say that took you?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
From start to finish, like from the time the cover is drawn up until, I mean, the final page of this issue, how long would you say that took you to make?
The whole process?
Yeah.
Let's see. It's kind of hard to, let's see, just to be, just without getting too technical, probably about, what's today, the early December, November, about 2.5 or 3 months.
Jesus, man, you're a monster. Yeah,
it's, we had about 6 to 12 rough pages and 2 covers with the incentive ideas when I started the Kickstarter.
Jeez, so these I did guys that. Are crazy. I guess as tattoo artists, man. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, they're just, man. Yeah, and I went ahead and I paid them. We always said we agreed on a fair deal, and you know, we took a dive, and I was like, man, I gotta press a lot of books now, because it's not cheap. I'll tell you that much.
No, man.
But it's not super expensive either. It's worth it. Like to pay, just to say this much, if for anybody that doesn't know, the going rate for a nice page of artwork is probably about $100 for a nice cover. You can get them done for anywhere from $50 to $150, and typically on the higher end of that, $100 and up, you're gonna get some pretty nice shit. And then color and stuff ranges based on the person that the artist you deal with. Some of them don't want to mess with it, and others will charge more, or they'll include it, whatever. But so just to put it that in perspective, though, a 24 page comic book, you know, not cheap. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of book pressing, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. A lot of book
pressing. It's been really cool. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's been really cool. The most fun, if anybody ever is to be thinking about doing this, the absolute coolest thing is to see the vision from inside of your head that you picture and you write and you think about constantly, to see that be materialized into the real world and to actually be on art and to not just be some little stick figures, but to be like some really cool shit that somebody took the time to do. And even if it doesn't 100% sync up with what your initial idea was, if you figure out a way to make it work and you look at it and you can appreciate it, you're like, wow, that is so cool, you know what I mean? And sometimes these guys do shit that's just like the DMX cover, for example. We'll bounce a lot of ideas back and forth with each other. Like social media and the internet has made it so as streamlined it and made it a way for people like me to do this, and you know, for us to do this the way we can. And having these kinds of tools and technology like Photoshop and Google Drive and all this shit, man, it's really like a godsend. So but yeah, we can bounce stuff off and be like, hey, do you like this? And I'll do that to like 3 or 4 people. They'll be like, nope, don't like that. Yep, like that. Nope, don't like that. And then some, very seldom, I'll override everybody. I'll be like, well, fuck you guys, I like all this. This is really cool. This is staying. You know what I mean? But most of the time though, if somebody's saying something, I'll try to be open-minded about it and look at it. And if it's, you know what I mean? So it's always,
it's a collaboration.
Everybody that's participating in this, I want them to be fully satisfied with, you know what I mean? Right. To not leave anything on the table, you know what I mean? So
you want them back for the next issue too.
Right. So, and I know awesome. Trey started to get work outside of his, oh, Trey, he did, you would like this one. He did recently did a Good Boy homage. It's a Terminator homage. It's been going.
Dude, I
around.
Might have seen that actually.
Yeah, it's
I might have seen
dope.
That floating around.
Yeah, you might have seen that. It's got a metal COA. He's been working with the Bombardier guys for I think a while now. I'm not 100% sure what the situation is, if they're in where he lives at or what, but nevertheless though, yeah. So he's and then he's getting busier. So I told him, I was like, man, I gotta have you for number two at least. Like, we've already you've already committed for that one, man, right? Whether you know it or not. Like, so, and we'll see though as we go along if I'm able to do. I know for sure I'll do a second issue and more than likely a third. And I have plans though to make this one six. I think I can wrap it all up and put a bow on it with six. I feel like it would get too drawn out because she has to kind of refer to the book or have somebody else look at the book, like kind of the way the story goes in order to access the anthology inside of it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of goes into real time and like shows her, like, that's what she's reading as she's like, I don't know how to explain it, but you'll see. Shit, I lost my train of thought. Well, but anyways, yeah, Trey's just been getting more busy. But it's cool because I'm bringing other guys in and working with new people. And I've met them all on Facebook, dude. Indie comic groups and stuff. And I see their art and their solicitations. And I'll go and look at it. And I'm real particular about what I'm looking for. But I'm also real open-minded and willing to give somebody a shot. So it's worked out well with Juan with the manga stuff. And I know that's not really for everybody. I've got multiple friends that don't really care for that stuff. Like you said, it's just radically different than what traditional comic stuff. And but also I think he's excited me about him was his Americanized stuff. I believe he had a lot of other examples of his work too, and I was like, this guy's got is multi you know multifaceted as far as being an artist. So, and I like that to show because I like to tell different stories, and that diversity is cool. So it's been a lot of fun. He's in Mexico. And we just correspond on the internet. And I never would have met the guy if I wouldn't have reached out on Facebook and been in need of an artist to do a manga. So it's pretty cool, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's the best thing about it all. You know, meeting people and getting to work with people and seeing all this shit come to fruition.
Yeah, man. Developing a professional relationship in comics, you never know these days who you're going to work with or who you're going to end up working with and who's going to become what. You know, right. I mean, it's so awesome to watch indie creators now get all these Ringo nominations. I mean, a Kickstarter book this year won single issue.
Was that for this year?
Yeah.
You got to tell me about this stuff. I don't know anything about this. We can talk about it later, so we don't take up too much time if necessary. But
good,
how does that work? What's a Ringo Award?
So the Ringos, it's like, you know, it's an Eisner essentially. It's like the Oscars of comics in a way.
For indie?
No, it's not. Like James Tynan IV won writer the Ringo for writer of the year
for 21.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But the award for best issue of the year went to a 100% self-published Kickstarter comic done by David Pepos, the OZ. So I mean, it's the stuff now. It's the Kickstarter comics are being That's recognized. Awesome. I mean, it's amazing to it's happening for so many people faster now because
right.
Of Kickstarter.
I didn't know that there's such a big world out there for that, and like it's nice because now I know that money's on the back end and it's okay because with the money I had to invest, I can get that back, and then I can also print these books, and then I'll have those for people. And on the number two, we can put little bundles together. If you missed out on number one, hey, I've got more here. We can do this and that. And you just got so much more flexibility. I had what's her name? Anyways, I was gonna give this chick a shout out. Hang on, what's her name? Where's she at? One second.
Oh, you're good, man. There's so many people to
her name is Liz Bernaldez. I don't know if you know her, anybody knows her or not. She reached out to me and she wanted to fund the Kickstarter. She's in the Philippines, but she has a domestic shipping address. And she mentioned that she wanted some original art for her walls and stuff. She doesn't have any. She asked me about that. And so we're gonna look into getting some art prints done. And I looked on there and it's easy and it's dirt cheap, man. So I'm gonna get some stuff done and for some free swag and give out some 8x5 times 5 8.5 by 5.5 art prints from some of the splash pages and maybe some of the covers or something.
There's definitely some poster worthy art. Yeah, a lot of poster worthy art in here, brother. This art is I dig it quite a bit. And these guys color their own stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
They both use one of them uses an Apple and the other one uses some, I can't remember, man, Procreate and some other program.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's all really cool. Yeah, because the images are massive usually when they send them to me. And so we got to like blow up the image on Photoshop, and then I'm learning how to letter. It's so tedious because if you have one little thing that's off or something, you got to go back and center it. And I don't really know how to use the program. I'm just like ghetto fabulous with it, just like, you know, running my way through it. You know what I mean? Stumbling.
Dude, that's
through it.
That's how you got to do it, man. Yeah. I mean, really, there's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, dude, I'm looking at your first 24 pages here, and I'm not seeing lettering flaws. I'm not.
I wonder if that's the new. Oh yeah, because I told you that I was coming on. Yeah, in order to in commemoration of coming on the show, I think I sent you a revised version of it. So maybe that is the one, the most up to date one that you have. What happened was, I forgot what I was saying. I got a font bubble package. Because when I first started learning how to letter on the internet, I was being a cheap ass and I couldn't find any speech bubble fonts. I don't draw them, you know what I mean? And if most people don't know, when you get on digital stuff, you can just do it all through the font, you know what I mean? It's like Times New Roman or Courier or Verdana or any of that.
Yeah.
And so there's only one though, and most of them were just the outline, so they're not solid colors, so I couldn't make them the way I wanted to, and I only had like one or two of them that I could use, and it got real monotonous and they were real limited. One was real long, and it's just for when you're doing that kind of stuff, you need to really, you know what I mean? You don't want to do
lettering's
too much
art, man.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I've really learned to appreciate it. Now I find myself, dude, looking at books and I'm like, oh, that lettering could be better right there. Like, you know what I mean? Being like a little lettering snob. I always do that. I had my craft beer phase, you know what I mean? I guess I'm a little bit of a weed snob too, but anyway, I get what I can out here. So.
Oh yeah, man. People really do underestimate the value of a good letterer. Yeah. Like I said, I dabbled in doing webtoons myself, and I did everything except for scripting. I mean, every little bit of it, from layouts to colors to talk bubbles, I did all of it. And lettering was the biggest headache. Because over everything. And I was somebody trying to learn how to do it all from scratch myself. And
yeah, it's just one of those things. You just kind of trial by fire, the same way I did with pressing books. I just kind of dove in one day and I was like, all right. And then after a couple of books, taking it really, I was like, oh, this one actually got some results. I was like, oh, I can do this. And then I was like, I kept going at it, and I'd fuck up a couple here and there and fuck up a couple there and then get a couple right. And then get one really good. You know what I mean? And you take a bunch of pictures of that one and people are like, oh, he's pretty good. And then they'll send you books and you can try to get those right. And you know what I mean? And it's a process. And you know, it's been a lot of fun though. I mean, a lot of people and having people trust me with those kind of books. Like, I've gotten to work on a Hulk 181, Iron Fist 14, Tomb of Dracula 10, Werewolf by Night 32, countless first Deadpools and Venoms and Carnages and Star Wars. And my buddy Paul Hunter sent me this lot of Star Wars. Like, it just, oh man, if you're a Star Wars fan, you just lose your shit probably. You know what I mean? There's just so much cool stuff. Yeah. I'm a big Star Wars and that's like all I really like. I guess you could say spec on, and because I'm really like paying attention to what Disney is doing and how Star Wars is expanding. And so I really watch that stuff hard. And Star Wars is like in a market of its own, though, you know, it's a world of its own. And the fandom is very loyal, and some of those books are very valuable. If you get in on them early and paying attention to what's going on. Like, for example, man, I'm waiting and watching for one of these days they're going to put Baby Yoda and Din Djarin in one of those books, and people are going to lose their fucking shit. You know what I mean? I don't know if they'll make a big announcement out of it. I would think they might, being as big as he is. Like, I heard Grogu is on more merchandise now than Mickey Mouse for Disney.
Same.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's true or not, but, that's what I heard. And so nevertheless though, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out and say like, oh, we're going to have the, you know, but maybe they'll, this Star Wars is really good at sneaking characters in spots. You know what I mean? Like in the weirdest book, you know what I mean? Like some strange random issue. Cause they've got 20 Star Wars books every month. So it's hard to follow all that. So if you're not paying attention, man, you're gonna get left behind on the Star Wars stuff.
Oh yeah, man. No, that's where a lot of my speculative attention is focused on right now myself, yeah. Man. Like there's not a Star Wars title coming out right now that I'm not sniffing out. There's no doubt about it.
I was really into High Republic and I still love it. It's really cool, but I just haven't had time to read anything. And I've just kind of, I'm more focused. I love the Nile and what they're doing with Martian Rowe, but King Valar is supposed to be coming along at some point. He's like the Sith royal family. And he said like, yeah, it was like and he supposedly is the one whose throne was on Exegol that the Emperor sat on.
Oh shit.
And, right. Yeah, and so he, and they said that there's rumors, I don't know that there's true, but they said that Keanu Reeves has been at Lucasfilm and they've been talking to him about possibly taking on this role to do him in live action. I don't know if there's, yeah, there's all sorts of weird, crazy rumors going on though, man. Star Wars Meg is great for content on YouTube. If you want some good Star Wars, yeah, she's got a British accent, real easy on the ear. Man, she's got good stuff, dude.
All right. Yeah, that's good to know.
I love Star Wars. I'm getting off track, but hey, whatever.
Oh, you're good, brother. Like I said, this is the stuff that I knew you from to begin with, you know, is kind of how our Facebook relationship started. You know, we're both speculators, and I mean, that's, I don't know, dude, I could talk about this stuff all day too. There's no shame whatsoever.
What do you think of Bad Idea? Have you been reading? Have you been keeping up? Have you been getting any of their latest stuff? But I just got two books. I subscribed to their stuff and then they tried to sell me on a package for their final six, whatever the hell they're doing, final four, final six, whatever. And the guy came to me like, hey, we can't guarantee that you're going to get these, but you can sign up and guarantee it, like $150. I was like, kiss my ass. They had so much going on. And then I just don't understand what exactly, because I read hang on one second. I want to show you something.
Yeah, I mean, they gimmicked out for sure. Digging hard. I love it.
I put them up for sale. That's why. Yeah, I get my pre-order stuff, but then I don't always, sometimes I miss something or, you know, and then I've less and less I'm looking on there, but I get one per, you know, one per deal. So they had Pirate Queen number 3 today. I think there's a glare on that.
Okay.
But this one was really interesting. It's called, it's a double shot and it's a big ass book and it's beautiful. It's a double shot. It's called Refuse and Last Resorts. But it was one of these, has a really weird, like a webtoon on the back, and it's like real meta, and it's two characters talking to each other about the bad idea, but it's very cryptic, and it's almost like, I don't know if they're like trolling or like if they're hinting at doing something else in the future. Like it's, I don't know. What do you make of all of the bad ideas?
Well, they're gimmicks playing well, I think, because the fact that we're talking about it right now, it's working for them. Whether or not they're making money on it, I'm not sure, because I feel like most of the things people have to say about it's negative. But the fact is, we're talking about it. So I do believe that is part of their plan. I think that's why they called it Bad Ideas, to be super ironic, so that they could switch it up and do something better. But in the meantime, build their audience in the meantime.
Well, to my knowledge, the guys that started that, I think some of the guys from Valiant Comics were a part of that, if I'm not mistaken. No shit. Yeah. And then also, I don't know if it's the same guy that's a part of Valiant, but I know his name because I studied and learned about them when they were coming out, but Shamdesh Dishani, I think is how you say his name. Him and a couple of other people that were at the top of the Bad Idea food chain were all like really high ups in like their respective fields of study and business and everything. So when it first came out, I was like, wow, this is really cool. The books were like, even these books here, like I could, you know, I don't know if anybody cares about it, but it's really well put together. Like it's a beautiful piece of book and it costs $10, but it's like, like you said, I don't know if they're making any money or if I feel like it was just as an experiment, because like you said, and this kind of brings us back to how comic books are a gold mine right now for Hollywood. Like they're so exhausted and depleted for ideas, and they can't even like retcon and reboot shit anymore. They're having to like reboot it. And so, and comics and indie is just where it's at. Like, cause it, you can like, God, man, how many books this year have we gone on Wednesday? And they're like, oh, optioned already, $20 or whatever. You know what I mean?
There's probably once a month at least. Once a month, there's a new indie book that's optioned.
Right. And who knows if that'll, if those books will ever see the light of day, but it's super badass to be like, your book got optioned and it hasn't even hit the shelves, or it's only been out for a couple of weeks and they're turning it into a TV series, or like, that's really cool. You know what I mean? And that's the, like, that's the dream, I guess. You know what I mean? But like, make one of your babies turns into like a TV show one day. Then you get to start talking about merchandising and God knows what. And
Oh yeah, man.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, who's to say awful thoughts can't be in that conversation, man? You know, it's I'm telling you, I dig your all of this. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The first 24 pages, it's a couple of, well, it was two of them, two mini.
I think you've got two stories in the opening narrative. Maybe you might just be missing one story. You've probably got 18 of the 24, I think.
Okay, that might be
24 Fools is the complete story. I haven't put that last one up there yet, though.
Gotcha.
It's called Self Reflection. It's really cool. I'm a shopping mall, and it takes place. I love shopping mall horror and grocery store horror. Any horror in general, anywhere, any weird disturbing shit's going on, I'm okay with.
I can tell, because I mean, this is disturbing. It is, but this is what I want when I go to open up a fucking horror book, man. Like, I don't want
right
fluff and bubble gum. You know, I want to feel some shit. You know,
so like, I want something. Something that I wanted to do, like all too often, I read a lot of these anthologies. Like I have one right here that I wasn't gonna buy, but the cover art and the back is so cool. It's called Zombie Terrors from Asylum Press. Like I don't hardly ever buy any Asylum books. It's a Halloween special, but it's an anthology because I just love reading them. But all too often I'll read them and they're just like, they're not even scary, or they're not even really like super dark. They have like these subtle, like happy overtones, and they're just kind of more weird, like an Adult Swim bump or something. You know what I mean? And some of those can be a little disturbing, but most of those are just kind of real, like innocent. And that's kind of how some of these anthologies are, or it's like the way they're put together. There's just no rhyme or reason. It's like they just kind of slap them together and throw them out there and, you know, see if they hit the wall and stick or whatever. So I wanted to kind of make something that was a little more complete feeling, in my opinion, at least. And if I were to read it, I'd be like, man, this one's really got something. That's why I like the Silver Coin so much. And I still have my run of that. You know what I mean? And I'm looking forward to the next one. You know, it's got something and it doesn't hurt, I guess, that they're bringing in all of the best writers and comics to do stories. So.
Yeah, and David Walsh is an absolute fucking monster of an artist. So yeah,
he's the one that's doing. He's
doing all the art.
Ice Cream Man was different, right? It had Maxwell Prince. It had one writer and then all other artists, right?
Ice Cream Man was consistent. It was W. Maxwell Prince and Max O'Halloran. Well, I think that was the color artist. Why am I forgetting it was the same creative team all the way through.
Right. Okay. I've been thinking of Haha or something. Either way, like it's cool to see. Okay. I was wondering.
Yeah. Haha was different all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've had like Kelly Thompson and who I didn't even really like, shame on me, but like I'm learning so much so quick. Like I didn't even know who she was, and like she's like
she's been on the podcast.
She's been on here before.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, she's. I mean, like she's the one that's making all like the reason that Hawkeye is so badass right now on TV, right? Didn't she do that run?
Yeah. Yes, she did.
Pizza Detective and all that stuff. The tracksuit mafia and all that shit. Like she's responsible for all that, making Kate Bishop like cool as she is. I don't know if she created those characters, but I think she's the one that's, I think that because I haven't really read any of those runs, but I don't know. It's I know she's done some of that stuff though, right?
She was heavily involved in Kate Bishop.
Yeah,
that much I know, but
yeah, that's all, yeah, that man.
Yeah, fuck. It's been a while, but the creators that they've had on Silvercoin mm-hmm. just, I mean.
So most recently amazing. Is my most favorite.
And oh, that was by far the best, man. Joshua Williamson.
Yeah, the guy that's doing Batman now, and I just read Batman 118.
That video game issue was fucking.
Yeah, it's gnarly. So great. Yeah, it's just so you know how you could see how it's something that I would like too. You know what I mean? It's just so weird and cool, and like at the end, whenever the kids are looking at the video game, they're like, "I don't want to play that guy. He looks weak." Mm-hmm. He's like in the game and shit, and it was really neat. It was really well put together. It was just enough, just my kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And they made Spawn's cameo make sense too, which I loved. You know,
I don't remember that part. Was that in the silver coin?
Pops in there for a second. Yeah.
I had to go back and look at it.
Oh, it's just for a second, but it's one panel, but they make it make sense.
Nice.
It's fucking rad, dude. It's rad.
Yeah. It's cool though to see. There's a lot of new horror coming out. I saw where one of the other big guys, I think Scott Snyder, is going to be doing a new anthology or short limited series with a big artist. It might not be Snyder. One of the big dogs though is doing a new undertaking. And then like Noctera is gonna be a TV series, right?
I believed in that one immediately.
Oh dude, when I started don't get me wrong, I'm guilty of not. So I'll read a book and then I'll read it for a few issues and then just get distracted and move on to something else all the time. But that doesn't mean I don't love the stories and care about them and want to see them do good. But some of them I'm just not up to. But the moment I picked up that book, aside from Capullo's art, and I've always been a fan of Snyder, some of his stuff more so than others. But as soon as I started reading that, I was like, yeah, this one's a winner right here. I could see this being a movie or something. Like, you know how you get that vibe when you're reading a book sometimes? Like, this one's got good. This is a gold mine right here. And sure enough, man, like, God. And those are all just recently come out. Like, you know what I mean? We could have got 200 copies of these books. God damn it.
No shit.
Department of Truth and God, you know, countless others, but you know, whatever.
Well,
it's fun to see it all doing so well, most importantly, more so than my profits, you know what I mean?
Well, it really is, because up until really a couple years ago, horror and comics was kind of just mostly miss. There are very few
really
hits, but now now that we got like Stray Dogs and stuff like coming, it's good shit, man.
I think homage covers have a lot of potential too. I've always liked them. Maybe I'm partial to them, but something I'm going to get into and that you'll see from Your Grave. I'm doing I'm going to do some video game homage covers for like some old 16-bit 8-bit.
Oh, that's
going to
do very
game
well,
covers. Man. Yeah, the first one is going to be for Altered Beast, and it's badass looking so far. I'm doing the lettering on it right now. I'm having trouble because the Altered Beast sign is hand drawn by the guy that drew the actual art, so you can't find that font anywhere, and I'm not good enough to like figure out whatever, so I'm improvising, but it's looking really good, man. Tom, the guy that did the axe handle with the bloody bag, the splash page I have, Tom, he did two of the stories you might have read, Frog Baseball, and he's got Baker's Dozen too. He did the homage cover for this one, for the zombie guy. And for From Your Grave, it's killer, man. I'll show up. You'll see it soon. But they're going to take my time with it, though. That's something that's really cool, too. That's going to be my first time experiencing NFT, digital releases and stuff. I don't know how that works connected to, like, crypto and all that. But I've got some guys that know their stuff that not only invest, but that sell stuff like that and have experience with that. And real supportive and helpful. And so we're going to do one page per like release, like one page a week, kind of like we would a webtoon, I guess. But then we'll do it like a limited quantity and people can buy that through NFT, and that'll help fund the art and pay and keep the book moving along.
Awesome.
So that way in about 3 or 4 months, then we can either kickstart that book, 24 page first issue, and then have it physical print, or we can just do it ourselves if we have the money. And it'll be really cool though. It's neat. It's like, imagine if you woke up out of the ground, like you died and woke up like a zombie basically, but you've still got all your wits and bearings about you. and you're just in the middle of bedlam, kind of like reverse Walking Dead, I guess, or something. But it's gonna be like fourth wall breaking and over the top violence and some cool stuff, some humor, comedic undertones and stuff. But it is gonna be a lot of fun, man. I'm working with a community called The Geek and Game on Facebook, right. And they do a lot of pop culture related stuff, a lot of video games, Twitch streams, pop sales, comic books, memes, all that kind of stuff. And they've got like, they're like 40,000 strong or something. And he's helped me a lot to grow the Awful Thought stuff. I'm doing an exclusive cover with them too. It's the Infected exclusive. And it's really cool. It's cover A, but it's the character on there, he's all zombified and gross looking. And there's like a red virgin variant. I don't know if they're still on the Kickstarter or not. I kind of revised some stuff the other day because, like I was telling you earlier, I was being critical of my old stuff that was on there. I wanted to clean it up. So, but those Infected covers are really cool. So we're doing those just for him, and they'll sell them through his site. And it's been a really good relationship. He's got a guy like does like low budget Hollywood, like B movies. And stuff. So, and he's trying to pitch that to him already. Like, and so he's really excited. It's cool because this guy had an idea, right? He has a logo for the Geek and Game, little green and black logo. And it's got a little zombie looking guy with a headset and a video game joystick. And he was like, I want to try to do something with, I was like, well, you know, you want to try to develop the character, like give him a little backstory. Okay. I was like, all right, cool. Do you have anything? He's like, yeah, actually kind of this and that. I want to do this and that. I was like, okay, that's enough for me to work with. And now we've turned it into like this whole thing, like this whole like video game style comic book. That'll be a lot of fun. So
hell yeah, man. I could see that doing very well. And yeah, you think you're going to kickstart that as well?
Probably. Yeah. But that's going to be, it'll be a couple months down the road. We're going to get like, I think we're going to, as long as we're having success with the per page NFT and we can continue to pay the artist in advance and keep the wheels turning, then everything will move according to plan. And then probably, yeah, like late spring, we'll probably do like a kickstart, maybe just, you know, a little small one or something, and then just do a couple of covers. And well, who knows? We'll see. If the cool thing is, this is something else that's really neat. At the request of this guy I'm working with, the head of the Geek and Game, he's got a bunch of admins that help him maintain that group since there's so many people. And he's probably got about a dozen people that do it all for free. So he was wanting to, we're gonna supplant, I think that's the right word to use. We're gonna put these people inside of the comic book as either zombies or like extras, basically. And we'll give them, like, they've all got like, maybe this girl's a Pokemon fan, so I'll have a zombie walking by with like a Pokeball backpack or something, you know what I mean? Or whatever, like a Pikachu beanie, or and then be like, hey, look, there goes Sarah, you know what I mean? Or, and then some of them will be more deliberate where you'll like maybe actually see like some characteristics of this person and be like, hey, look, there's Carlos, look, see his, you know, you can tell by the hair or the clothes they wear. And it'll be a lot of fun though. So I think that'll be some, so that the community itself, just the Geek and Game community, will be 100% behind it already. So that's cool. And then hopefully from there we can branch out and let it grow and turn into something like maybe Awful Thoughts, you know what I mean? So
right. Hell yeah, man. That's got to be exciting as hell for you, considering the beginning of the year, you didn't think you'd have a comic book out. And now you've got a comic book
project, man.
Yeah. that's so badass. On this Awful Thoughts, do you have a projected fulfillment date? When do you think these things will be shipped out and ready to go?
Yeah. So, okay. I believe the Kickstarter, forgive me if I'm wrong on a couple, on the day or two, but like the 20th, I think, or the 22nd is when the crowdfund ends.
Okay.
As soon as that ends, I'm not sure how it works, but as the funds are transferred, like within, and as soon as the funds are transferred, I'm going to get on the horn with, I'm getting everything printed through Comics Wellspring. Shout out to them because they've been really easy to work with. Melanie, I think is her name. She's over there, man. They do great. Their customer service second to none and really good deals. You got to buy quite a few to get the really good cheap price, but
right.
If you, man, you know what I mean? They've got like real thin cardstock, kind of like the new Spawn books, I think.
Nice.
Just for standard, you know what I mean? And then they can do all the foils and everything. So
hell yeah.
Got that really pretty platinum. I called it the platinum foil version. That sounded fancy. So it's like a silver foil. We got the platinum.
There you go, man.
So we got that. And, but yeah, so as soon as that's done, I'm going to reach out to them and send it over. Everything will be final on my end. And then they said it would take a couple of weeks. They're gonna send me a proof though, because I want to make absolute certain that everything looks right. Yeah. For anybody that doesn't know out there, a proof is when they actually print the book and then they mail it to you so you can see it before they go and print God knows how many of these things, and then you hate it because there's a period or a comma missing or God knows what else.
Right. Somebody didn't get the page turned right.
Yeah. Or now also my main concern is the cropping of the pages. I want to make sure everything looks okay. And also on those smaller speech bubbles, I want to make sure everything's real legible, because another big pet peeve of mine, you'll notice that it might like when I need to, I'll do a lot of dialogue, but I try to keep my dialogue kind of short and sweet. I'll do a lot of like through narrating, I'll try to be descriptive and kind of let the reader just kind of look at the art and let it kind of think about it and just give them enough to kind of go with. Yeah. I don't like reading a whole lot of big speech bubbles, and next thing you know, they're covering up the art and there's just too much exposition, or that's just me. I just don't really like reading a whole lot. It sounds stupid because I'm reading a book, but I like the art stuff. So, but anyway,
I can relate you.
Stories are great. And like Donnie Cates does really well is descriptive narratives. You know what I mean? Like when he's describing Null and the Void and all of that, like, and everything, it's just great, all the black and everything. And so I've tried to draw inspiration from stuff like that and just really set up the reader for success whenever they're looking at the art, and, or the artist for success. And we just, you know, kind of try to have a symbiotic relationship. But hold on, I lost my train of thought there. What was I saying? Oh, the projected release date. Yes. So yeah, so hopefully, all that to say this, I'll have physical copies at my house ready to ship like the first week of January.
Nice, man.
Maybe the second week of January.
That's awesome.
But more than likely, yeah, the first week. And I can't wait to see them. And then we'll set up. I'm going to go over to Comic Vault and I'm going to go make my rounds, because I sent out a lot of emails, but I haven't got a lot of responses. But I know people are, I think a lot of some of these other people are on the periphery, kind of just waiting to see what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And then once that jumps off, they might be, you know what I mean, like more inclined to work with me, or what, for whatever reason, people are busy. You know what I mean? You never know why somebody doesn't get back to you. But nevertheless, I'm going to be steadfast and I'm going to go out to some of these local shops and see if I can set up like some type of meet and greet signing type of quote unquote tour, I guess, and just kind of go around like once a week and maybe, or once every other week or once a month, and visit a different shop and people and take my books, you know what I mean? And try to get in that way. And then as soon as cons and stuff start popping up regionally, then I'll make my way out, you know, and I'll drive a little bit if I need to. If it gets really big, hell man, we'll go out of state. We'll take the G4.
Oh yeah, man. See you at Fan Expo Denver.
Hell yeah, I'll come swing by and pick you up. I was out in Colorado Springs a few years back. It was the last time I traveled. I had a good time, man. Yeah,
Colorado's a fun place, man. It's a fun place.
It's a lot of fun. It's different, man. Out there, we were at a little wing spot, and it started snowing like really heavy outside. And I walked outside, and it was like, felt like it was 65 degrees out here. I was expecting to be cold as hell. I'm like, damn. I was out there smoking a cigarette. Like, man, it feels like, you know, regular weather.
Yeah. Weather's weird as shit out here.
You're in Washington, right? You're in Washington.
No, I'm in Denver.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're in Golden, Colorado. My bad. Yep. I don't know why I was thinking Washington or Oregon or something.
No, it's all good. We've yet to see snow here this year. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. It's insane. The weather is absolutely bonkers. It's like 60 degrees again.
Yeah, it's
today.
So weird. Yeah, weather is all over the place now in the world. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, man. Thank God for comics to fucking make me not think about the fact that it's 65 degrees in Denver in December right now. It's
and a hurricane in New York City.
Oh my God. Yeah, seriously.
That's been weird too. There's a bunch of weird like storms like that up north. I'm wondering like when we're gonna get earthquakes in Texas, then you know some shit's going down.
Seriously, yeah. Shit. Comics to keep us distracted in the meantime, brother.
Right. I love them, man. I try to make time every week. This was my pick of the week. I found it. I don't get a whole lot of stuff and just hold on to, but if I do, they're like girly covers that I really like. Not too over the top, though. The art has to be right. For example, you got one right back there next to the Hulk 341, that Art Germ Catwoman classic retro.
Best cover that came out in 2019.
That stays in my PC. Yeah, I don't touch that one. And I've got several like that, but I've also got horror stuff. And this is a really cool Evil Ernie 1 in 10 TMNT homage that came out this week.
Yeah, I picked picked a few of those up actually. I didn't get the 1 in 10. I got the standard blue cover.
That one looked great too, though. Yeah. And they had a Spider-Man. Is that you talking about the ASM 300?
No.
They had some of those too.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They the did. Homage, I mean, yeah, free yeah, Barney. Yeah,
I picked up, I grabbed a couple of those.
Did you read that issue?
I haven't yet. It is very close to the top of my stack.
I love Ernie Death, or Ernie, or even Ernie and Lady Death, and Ernie Death, and Brian Polito, man, that's another guy that I got inspired by once I started really digging into Kickstarter and looking at it. Most of the stuff I saw was like, okay, cool, these guys are doing good, or this guy's doing all right, and then I go over and look at somebody like him, who I've been reading books for like 20 years. Like when I was 11 and 12, 13 years old, like Lady Death was like, that was it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you wanted Lady Death covered and Evil Ernie stuff. It was gory and you got to see boobs and stuff. Like, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So anyways, yeah. So he's on there on Kickstarter doing like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
In seconds.
Like, in seconds. Oh, really? Yeah. And see, that's even on a whole nother, I can't even begin to understand the scope of that. Like, so people just want that stuff. As soon as it pops, it's just gone, huh?
Yep. Oh yeah. No, he holds almost every Kickstarter record there is out there, actually.
Like, why would you need like to deal with anybody? Like, why you don't need to go through Diamond or anything?
Fuck Chaos Comics, man.
Right. Like, what's Chaos? He's got Chaos. Has he got Coffin Comics too?
Coffin. Yeah.
It's Coffin. Okay.
Well, I mean, that's his thing. Maybe now. Chaos is still. I mean, Chaos's logo is on that Evil Ernie book. Actually,
is it okay? Yeah. I'm wondering if he's like maybe he helped them like form that, or just kind of left it and now formed his own thing, or you never know. You know.
Yeah.
Eastman and Laird had their, you know, like Eastman and Laird when they kind of broke off, and I'm sure these guys kind of tried to keep doors open, but they'll walk away and do their own shit. You know, just same way all those guys left Marvel so many years ago and made Image. Like, dude, I was thinking the other day, I was like, why do I like indie books so much? I was like, all I read is indie. Like, I don't even really care about the superhero tropes that much anymore. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, I know why, because like back in 92 or whenever when Image first came out, they were indie. Like, I've always been reading indie books, and those are just kind of more superhero kind of themed, like Spawn. You don't really understand at the time though, but you're reading indie books, you know what I mean? Like Youngblood and Cyber Force and Gen 13 and all that stuff. It's all indie, and they're like, no wonder, you know what I mean? Now it's just kind of evolved and turned into, I really can appreciate all different types of across publishers and all stories. Like, it's never a dull moment with comic books, man.
Oh, seriously, man. I mean, as much as I read and as deep as I am, I am into this, it's crazy how often I still find myself surprised and blown away in this industry. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, you're right. It says it's Chaos and Dynamite. I forgot they have an arrangement with them, and they do all the Lady Death stuff and all the other stuff.
Yeah, man. Well, brother, I've kept you long enough. I think the people are gonna be excited about Awful Thoughts. I do.
Sure,
I know I am, and I look forward to seeing what other twisted stories come out of this series, man. Because I mean,
That was one thing I wanted to leave on too. Something else that's cool that if people notice or pay attention, anybody that's planning to read it and stuff, for example, the cover with the Homage cover with the girl with the eye in her mouth.
I'm looking at it right now.
That's basically like a quote unquote first cover appearance of that character. She won't be in the first book. That character has a story though that'll be told in issue number 2.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. So there's going to be
a speculative market. I like
it. Right. Yeah. See, this right here is the first cover appearance, but the other one is the first cameo appearance and something or other. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun though, because they'll be able to go back if they're reading all this stuff and following it. They'll be like, oh, that's what that is. It's not just some random character that we, even though when it started, my buddy Trey, again, he just sent me that piece. And he was like, I think this would be good for yours. And I was like, yeah, I like that. And it was just this character he created. And I was like, you know what? Let's try to do something with that. And I made a really weird story for that one. You're going to love it. It's out there. Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Cool, man. Thanks a lot for having me, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure, man.
We'll do it again. Maybe after number one gets up and rocking, and maybe a couple months down the road or something, we can come back on and talk again. See where we're man. At.
Yes, sir. I love progress. I'm always down to to celebrate progress. There's no doubt about that, brother. Man, yeah. So awful thoughts on Kickstarter. Do you have an Instagram or like a Twitter for this yet?
I do. Yeah. There's actually if you go to on Facebook at Indie Horror 22, it'll take you to the Awful Thoughts comic page.
Okay.
We'll do all the updates from there. You can try finding me on Facebook at Kingdom Comics and More in the group, the and gotcha. Symbol.
And that's K-E-Y.
Should clarify that too. It's like a key book, K-E-Y-N-G-D-O-M, me being crafty, if you will, or trying to be at least. Mm-hmm. So anyways, Instagram at Kingdom Comics, again, spelled the same way. And then the Kickstarter, just if you guys can find the link, it's kind of a lot to spell or whatever, but y'all just
I'll share out the link for them. Yeah, cool. So you don't gotta worry about
it's not too late to pledge. Anybody that pledges is gonna continue to get, everybody will get one copy of that DMX homage. And if you don't even care about that book, I would at least get that cover. That shit's dope. Like, I think it wind up being worth money one day. Who knows?
I'm going to say, as somebody that's backed, this will be my 69th Kickstarter I've backed this year. This is the best price point I've seen this year out of all. So for what I'm getting for $15 fucking dollars, I feel like I'm like, are you sure? okay, I'll take it.
The goal was, if I figured out my cost and everything, without getting too much into that, if everybody could do everything to where everybody could be happy and really just run at it and be like, yep. And then that's kind of what's happened now. And one thing I didn't account for was on the slab tiers, having to send those off. So now I'm going to have to I'll absorb the shipping cost, but I want to make sure everybody gets their physical copies immediately. And then the other stuff we'll take care of later. Gotcha. But it's great though, because I've done so well with everybody's helped out so much that now I have extra money to be able to do that without having to worry about letting it affect, you know, any kind of other stuff like progress. So
you don't have to go out and buy really six more presses.
So just so everybody knows, all that stuff is going to basically just be dumped right back into making more and more content. So thanks a lot, everybody, for listening and for supporting. And Brian, appreciate you, man.
Oh,
and we'll do it again soon.
I'm thinking so, brother. I'm thinking so. You stay safe, man. Don't stop creating. Cool, man. We will be in touch, I promise.
You too. Later, bud.
Later, brother.
I'm Harrison. And I'm Jordan. And we're the Grief Reader Podcast.
Do you want to listen to the number one gaming podcast on Podchaser?
Of course you do.
Wait. Is that us? Did you check that?
There it is. Comedy, gaming, and movies. Join us every Wednesday on the Grief
Burrito Podcast.
Fuck.
No, I'd panic.
That was
All right, there you have it. Episode 375 in the books. Another creator has been cornered. Jeffrey Cotton. Yeah, man, it was, like I said, the dude, he's definitely excited about his book. There's no doubt about it, and he has every right to be. He has every right to be. I know he got off the rails a little bit, but at the same time, you know, we're talking about the stuff that I kind of know him for. You know, the restoring of the books and the selling and all of that good stuff. So I don't know. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of goddamn fun. Remember, hit up Kickstarter. Awful Thoughts is what you want to look up from Jeffrey Cotton. And yeah, man, I'm telling you, from what I've seen, I'm impressed. I am. I'm very impressed. I wouldn't have had him on the podcast if I wouldn't. You know what I mean? So, yeah, baby. All right, now, what else do I say now? Oh, this is the part where I tell you about CheersToComics.com. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. CheersToComics.com is your one-stop shop for all of the Cheers to Comics content you could be looking for, whether it's the YouTube video uploads or, all your new episodes are going to be uploaded right there as well. So, yeah, hit up CheersToComics.com, and now when you click on the little store button, it'll take you directly to shopCheersToComics.com, and another amazing
spot for you to purchase your comics from, baby. Yes, Cheers to Comics has expanded into a retailer, and when you're shopping, shop cheerstocomics.com. Make sure you use code PODCAST at checkout and save yourself another 10%. Oh yeah, podcast checkout, shop cheerstocomics.com, cheerstocomics.com. And remember the most important thing you could do today. Seriously, the most important thing you can do today is leave a 5-star review for the show on Good Pods or Podchaser or Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can leave a positive, snappy review. And yeah, that's your good deed of the day. And then after that, everything else is secondary. As long as you get your good deed out of the day, good deed of the day out of the way, there you go, then you can carry about the rest of your day guilt-free. So yeah, get it done early. Leave a review. There we go. All right, people. I'll talk to you the next time there's things about comics to talk about. In the meantime, I command that you stay safe and read responsibly. Cheers, fuckers.
I'm Monty Michael Moore, and this is the Cheers to Comics podcast with Brian Wayne.
This is, I'm John Chang.
This is Drew Zuck.
This is Mark Russell.
Hi, you're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.
Podcast recommendations, you ask? Brian Wayne here, co-curator of The Apocalypse. And I know that sounds gnarly. That's because it is gnarly, man. The Apocalypse. What is The Apocalypse? The Apocalypse is a culmination of the gnarliest podcast, independent podcast, the internet has to offer. So instead of trying to go to Twitter the next time you need a new podcast to listen to and try to get Twitter famous, podcast recommendations, please. Just think The Apocalypse, man. And it's ironic because The Apocalypse is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Just go to podchaser.com. It's in the top list. The top list in the whole world. So whether you're looking for true crime, sports, role-playing, I don't know, anything. Think of a podcast. It's on The Apocalypse. It's like The Apocalypse with a D. And do not forget to follow The Apocalypse on Twitter as well. Once again, that is The Apocalypse. If you're looking for a podcast recommendation, The Apocalypse is sure to have something for you.